If you like stuff, then check out the Am I Stuff podcast with Mr. Kelsey Hudgens.
He's a fella.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios, indeed. Hey, guys, how you living? You doing well? Good. Glad to hear that. So in this episode, I had the nerd and the nerdette from the ever-popular Voices of Misery podcast. And if you do not know what the Voices of Misery podcast is, then you need to remedy that immediately. And you can do so by following them on Twitter at Voices of Misery, at voicesofmisery.podbean.com, and I think at Voices of... there was another one there that I know I'm fucking up right now. I just said them all back to back. Can't remember what the other one was. Anyway, Google Voices of Misery. Voices of Misery on Apple Podcasts. Anywhere podcasts are available, you can check those guys out. And it is a fantastic podcast. I do suggest you check them out. You will enjoy it. They have a great back and forth. They're great hosts. They're just outright great hosts. So go check that out. Please also go to mistuffpodcast.com and go to the YouTube channel and click subscribe. Kelsey Hudgens. And please click subscribe on the Apple Podcasts. Anywhere podcasts are available, follow, subscribe. Follow me on social media at Kelsey Hudgens, at Yonder Wizard, Instagram and Twitter. Yonder Wizard is Instagram, but you fucking know that. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably know. But if this is the first episode that you've listened to, I thank you for listening, and I really do appreciate you stopping by here. And yeah. Follow me on the Instagram, follow me on the YouTube so you can stay up to date with everything else that goes on if you care to do so. And yeah, also, I don't ever really plug these things, but I do have a couple of bands that you guys can check out too if you like. The American Sound and Cornbread. Cornbread has been around a lot longer than the American Sound. So it has a pretty good social media presence already. It's the only reason I say American Sound first. Because we do not, and I rarely ever like update any of those social media accounts anymore. But check out those things if you want to hear any of the music that I've released with the bands. Then you can do that. And also, I have a few singles out on iTunes. If you want to search Kelsey Hudgens on iTunes or Spotify or Apple Music, anywhere that you can download music or stream music, you can search Kelsey Hudgens and listen to some of my original music, some of my solo work there, and I would appreciate you if you did. So, yeah. I think that's all I got. This was a good episode. This was really fun. These guys were great. We started the podcast, and then I realized that shit, two hours later, it, you know, did not feel like that long. So they were very, very good to talk to. That was enjoyable. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys get to it. I don't want to hold you back anymore. So without further ado, episode number 173, is it 173, I think? 173 of MI Stuff Podcast, featuring Nerd and Nerdette of Voices of Misery Podcast. Enjoy, motherfuckers. You know, I'm in the same boat, man. You know, every now and again, just the world's not where you want it to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's funny that you mentioned blocking people on Twitter, because we were literally just talking about that before we linked up here on the Discord. How good does it feel to block somebody?
You know, I have yet to block anyone yet. Just I want to try to understand what other people are trying. Like, I want to try to see their point of view, but just to consider the fact that I may be wrong, just because I'm very bad about thinking I'm always right. So I want to like consider the thought, maybe I am wrong about this, but then by the time I end up trying to consider that, I see humanity in those people and want to, I don't know, maybe try to reach out to them or maybe change them a little bit. But then I'm just the idiot that's trying to fucking change somebody who's dead set in their ways on Twitter arguing with people.
Well, some people are just fucking hopeless too, man. And the thing is like, it's like internet murder. It's the equivalent of murder, but on the internet, because if you block somebody, you'll never see or hear from them again. They are essentially erased from your life. And that's what I like about it. We were talking about this incident actually where I really use the term professional loosely. He is a professional wrestler that wrestles in front of like 10 people in like a high school. We're just going to keep giving it to this guy. And he got upset because I posted, and I don't know, and I know like we've talked off the air about wrestling a little bit, yeah. And like you used to watch way back in the day, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was about to stop watching when The Rock beat Stone Cold, because that was some bullshit.
Do you remember a wrestler named Rhino?
Rhino, I do not.
Well, he was in ECW, like that 1 o'clock in the morning thing.
I know ECW.
He used to wrestle in front of like hundreds of thousands of people when he joined the WWE. Now, he went to some high school, I guess, and the pictures online were kind of sad because it was like this guy who was once on the top of his game. He was wrestling like in a high school gym with like 10 people there. And there was literally like 10 people there. You can count them on, you know, both hands. And I posted, I'm like, isn't it sad that, you know, this guy was a huge star wrestling in front of all these people, and now he's wrestling in front of 10 people. And like, I was like, it's kind of sad to see how far he fell. And it wasn't like an insult or anything like that. But the guy that he wrestled saw it and got very upset and emotional. And if I could hand him a tissue through his computer screen to wipe his tear, I would have. Dude, this man, he's a grown man. And he was crying like a baby. And he's like, you're a shitty podcast and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, why are you so hurt? And I ended up blocking him online. And it felt great because I'm like, I don't want dialogue with this individual who I have no desire to ever speak to.
Oh, yeah. Now that I understand. That's, but see, yeah. Well, I mean, well, who does he think he is? David Arquette?
At least he has name value. The thing about Arquette is at least he can afford to buy himself lunch. This guy can't.
Yeah, that's sad, man. When you're having to go to like high school football games and like that's your, because you remember Buff Bagwell.
Oh, my God. Buff the Stuff.
Buff the Stuff. Bro, Buff Bagwell came to Marlboro County High School in Bennettsville, South Carolina, where I'm from, and was signing autographs at halftime at the high school football game. And I was like, man, this has got to be rough, dog. Like, things must not be going too well. By the way, Buff Bagwell, I don't give a shit. Come after me. What you got? I don't give a fuck.
I don't think his neck will hold up. You know what he's doing now, by the way?
No clue.
All right, so he is a male gigolo. He sells himself online. You can buy a date with Buff Bagwell. He does not discriminate, man or woman. You can buy a date with Buff Bagwell. He will go as your date.
Jesus, this is like in what was that movie? Boogie Nights. It's like $5 to touch it, $10 to watch me jerk off.
So I'm very happy that you finally get to meet the nerdette, my better half, because we've talked in person a couple of times, and yes. and I've been gushing about your studio.
Well, I appreciate that, and nerdette, it's very good to meet you, by the way.
Yeah, you too. Oh God.
Oh goodness.
I can actually send you guys a link if you want to watch along with the video here.
We are sitting on a piece of crap table. This is a horrible setup. Like, I'm so, because I did watch a couple of your YouTube videos. Your setup is freaking awesome. I'm so jealous. But we've only been doing this, what, 9 months? I think it's 9 months now, right?
Well, we started in January, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, we'll get there eventually. We just finally got the laptop. I'm happy about that. So I can't really push for too much.
Baby steps. You know, that's that. You gotta do that. I actually just text you guys a link if you want to follow along, just in case we do get a chat. But yes, that setup is fine. I mean, you're as long as you're accomplishing the goal that you need to accomplish, which is like releasing content, and so long as like you're getting like feedback from your listeners, and they're not any like negative audio feedback, then you're fine. Like I don't see anything wrong with that. And But like I told the nerd there, all of this was listener support, like bought all of this stuff. Like my listeners, I did GoFundMe and I started like every episode. I was like, I have a GoFundMe in the description of the videos and a Venmo in the description of the videos and all that stuff. If you guys want to donate any dollars to the funds, this stuff isn't free to do anymore. So it's. And listeners took care of all that stuff. And you guys have a really good listener base. So, yeah.
Listen, we started out, I think, recording on a freaking iPhone, right?
That's right. It was the iPad.
It was the iPad. It was horrible. Listening back now, like, oh, my God, it did not sound good. I can't believe we had that many listeners back then.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know what happened. But, like, people ask me, because I do get, you know, questions sometimes about, like, hey, how do you guys get your name out there? And it was basically just being consistent, putting out content, putting out good content, being yourself.
Yes.
And just getting your own, you know, niche out there or whatever. How the fuck do you say that word, by the way? N-I-C-H-E. Niche.
It depends on where you, like, I think the Europeans say niche, but niche. I say niche.
It's like, all right, so do you say GIF or GIF?
GIF because the G stands for graphic.
Oh, see, I just see learned, that? There's a wrinkle on my brain. There right you go. Now. I just learned something.
Listen, he likes to come home thinking he knows all these brand new slang terms. And he doesn't know. Absolutely not. You can't call it GIF. Tell him how you say compass.
Compass.
That's not how you say compass.
C-O-M, com, pass, com, pass.
Compass, a compass. See, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know how I say it.
It's hard when you're on the spot, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Compass. I say compass, like C-A-W-P-A-S, compass.
Oh, Jesus.
Compass. I got that redneck. I got a little bit of Southern in me, though. I got that twang, so... I say a lot of things weird.
I'm from New York, and I say compass. You're from New Jersey, and you say what?
Compass. Compass.
So here's the thing. But I don't think it's as much where you're from as where your parents were from. Are both your parents from there as well?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, both of mine were from New York. I don't know. Just like he comes home with the weirdest words or says something, and I'm just like, no, absolutely not.
I work with a lot of young people. I'm trying to stay hip. Yeah. At 37 years of age, I'm trying to stay hip and learn new shit.
It doesn't work when you're old.
I know. It looks pathetic.
So you can't, like, you can't use Come Through Us Lit.
Trying to pick up chicks.
You can't be like a Come Through Us Lit fam to anybody.
Oh, God.
That's too much for me in one sitting. I need one word a day.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I still use words like right on and homie and hell yeah and things like that. Things that were cool, like whenever I first started using cool terms, I still use.
Listen, I still use the word dude.
I still say me rad too.
Who says dude at 40 years old? Me. Like, that's not a good word to use anymore.
Well, our previous guest used the word bro a lot. Vinny Brew. Vince Russo, man. Bro, every other word. He's almost 60.
I'll throw bro every now and again, but I don't know. I like to switch up. I like to switch them up. I never use the same one too often, especially in text messages. Like, I'll notice that I'll, like, read previous text messages to see what I said so I can say something differently next time.
Oh, man, I delete my text messages immediately. And if you got time, I'll tell you a quick little story why I do that.
All the time in the world.
All right, so my wife and I, we will text each other, you know, and, like, I'll text her some random shit, like, what time we get it on tonight or some weird shit, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'm getting
We're going here.
Well, I mean, and I have coworkers that text me shit all the time because I'm in a supervisory position. So the last person I text was this one, like, girl who I absolutely hated. I had no interest in her at all. But I text her by accident thinking it was my wife. Come and get in here so I can fondle you real quick. And then she goes, yikes. I'm in my car. I'm on my way. LOL. Like, joking, because she knows I have a tendency to do dumb shit like this. And then I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for you to come in the room. And I'm like, why is she not in here yet? And I picked up my tablet.
It's like, I'm going to drop everything anyway.
And I looked and my coworker replied to me that she was on the way to my house. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. And I'm like, this wasn't meant for you. She goes, I know. And I was mortified. And everybody knew the next day because she wouldn't shut her fucking mouth about it.
Oh man, that is a terrifying situation in this day and age.
Yeah. See, oh now, my God, I wasn't Me Too.
Listen, I just literally found out in this right now in the last 30 seconds that this was a female he texted. I knew it was a coworker. It was never told to me that it was a female that you texted.
Oh shit.
Uh-oh.
So see,
here it goes.
Now that makes it even funnier to me. Oh. That you some random female. Oh my God, that poor girl is probably like, what the hell is he talking about?
Well, like they know, because like I've done it before with like them to each other, where like I'll reply to a guy coworker, but I'm thinking it's the guy, but it's the girl, and it's like I just don't pay attention.
You've done that to me too, where you text me like work stuff.
Yeah.
That I don't know what he's talking about, and like I don't know how you had that problem. I don't have that problem with texting.
I don't pay attention.
Sometimes that just happens. They're all right there together, but I keep all of my text messages. I don't delete shit.
Proof. You got to keep proof somehow, somewhere, man.
I always got something shit to
refer to.
But
listen, we kind of went off the rails a little bit. I wanted to talk about your show real quick because, like, I've been listening, you know, and the thing that drew us to your show, the thing that we like about it is, like, you kind of have your own flavor, man. Like, you go and you talk and just talk, and you do it by yourself for hours.
Yeah.
But me, I can only stand 30 minutes of talking by myself. That's how my solos go. And then together we talk for hours. But you go, man. How the hell do you do it?
I chat with the YouTubers. If I didn't have that, I would just feel like I was talking to myself. Like, if I'm just by myself and there's nobody to bounce ideas off of in the YouTube chat, I'll probably cut it short around 30 to 40 minutes. But if in those cases, I do just use it as therapy, man. I just anything that bothers me, and I feel like if I say something, that means that subconsciously I needed to get that thing out, and I just do that. I just talk about whatever might be bothering me or whatever I might be going through at that time. And I literally just vent to myself. I vent to myself on a screen in front of me until somebody shows up in the YouTube chat. And then it becomes a conversation. And then the next thing you know, it's been an hour and a half and you've been chatting with people from all over the country or world on the internet. And that's just,
isn't it just insane though, when you think about it, how like, something that you do in your house for your own enjoyment becomes something that, you know, people from all over the world can become a part of.
Oh, yeah.
We've checked our numbers. And, like, we've been getting people in Brazil, Russia.
Yeah.
Israel and shit. It's crazy, man, how, like, people can just go ahead and just press a button on their device and have you.
That I never thought that they, like, and this is because of the news, but I never thought that they had Wi-Fi or internet or whatever, like countries I've never even fucking heard of, and I'm like, how the hell are they listening there? Because in my head, from the news, they don't have fucking power. They're living in a desert in shacks, but they're listening to us. It's just the weirdest thing.
Oh yeah, I've gotten like I've got a few listeners from like Nigeria and Bolivia, like Iceland, and a few in South America, and like I've got actually a pretty good bit in Russia and Czechoslovakia and Switzerland, but I don't know why. I don't know why and I've asked on the podcast before. I've like I've noticed that I've got some listeners in Switzerland and in Russia and over in that part of the world, and I'm just curious what drove you here. And I gave my email out. I never got anything back, but.
Same thing with us. We've we've asked, and we're like, because we've been trying to figure out how they're able to listen, because obviously we speak English, you know, like, so how did you find us, and like, how are you able to listen? Does it transfer, like, does this language change over there for them to listen to? Like, it's very odd. Like, I would love to know. I would love to talk to someone from over there.
They're learning our dialect so that they can infiltrate our country and destroy us from the inside. I'm just kidding. That's not what they're doing. I hope.
Well, that's one thing I kind of wondered, and we touched on this in one of our conversations together. was like, my mom, when she first came over here, she didn't really speak that good of English. And yeah. she learned by listening to music. And that's how I got into Elvis as a kid, because she listened to like Elvis. She watched like John Wayne movies and shit like that. And that's how she learned English.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that some poor bastard in another country isn't listening to the Voices of Misery or the MI Stuff podcast, because their first words may be fuck and shit.
You know what? That's great. That's great. You remember in Good Morning Vietnam where they were talking, he was teaching them how to speak English, and the words that it was like was go damn it and go fuck yourself or however. I don't know however the fuck it was, but it was funny.
I really fear for the future of other countries if they're listening to shit like this, man, because God damn it, this is not how you want to learn how to speak English.
By the way, I was only doing that voice to mimic Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam. Do not Shane Gillis me on this, by the way, you, listeners. I'm sorry.
See, on our podcast, we say what we want to say, and like, seriously, if you don't like it, move along.
Yeah.
We are, I don't think we're very controversial. I think we've said maybe two or three things that hurt people, but like, other than that, like, I think we're pretty good.
We're pretty tame. Yeah. I've listened, like I said, I haven't listened to a lot of your podcast, but the episodes that I've listened to, I've been like, yeah, I agree with that. Cause you were talking about how, in one episode I was listening to, you were talking about how people at the cash register just want to like small talk you and like, fuck that. Like, come on, man. Like, we know what we're here for. Just get to that.
Yep. Yeah,
I think it's because we're all locally based, you know, like we're here in the South and people are just nice down here. Yeah. And we're all not nice people. I mean, right. We're nice. We want to get the fuck out too, you know?
Yeah, man. Like, I got a life to live. I got shit to do, man. I'll give you the, oh, you know, one line. I'll give you one line or whatever. And then anything after that is just a nod. And that's, I don't know.
Dude, you have no. He gets on the nerd here. He shoves me to the cashier, so I'm dealing with the cashier while he's pretending to mess around on his phone. So any conversation towards him, he ignores, and then I have to sit there and answer for him. So, oh yeah, going to the store is great.
Well, I'm not pretending to look at my phone. I'm looking at porn, probably.
Oh my God.
I'm catching up with some. Porn. I want to see what the new stuff is, you know?
You know, they could stop making porn right now and we'd be good for life.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Please,
man.
Please, just stop.
Like, what have they not done yet? Seriously, like, everything's been done.
Well, you've dude, seen I have, I have, mean. I have stepmom, stepsisters, half-sisters, and I'm just, there's so much porn that I just cannot watch. And that seems to be all the, if you scroll down, it's like, oh, stepmom, oh, stepsister, oh, then like sister, bro. I'm like, where the fuck went wrong? What are people clicking on that makes this necessary?
Well, in my opinion, porn is like a gateway, because like, you may start watching the old boring missionary shit. And then before you know it, you're watching like she-males and fucking Futenaria and all this weird shit.
What are you into?
I interviewed someone, and I implore you to go back and listen to this one. This one is an anthropomorphic male. He dresses up in these suits, these furry suits. I don't know if you heard about the furries or not.
I have heard of it.
He's actually a friend of mine now, and you know, we keep in contact here on Discord. That's how I conducted the interview. And then it was a good time. Like, we talked about his fetishes and shit like that, and he was very open. And so I would say go back and listen to that one. It goes, The Furries, My Friend Neil, or some shit like that. I don't know the exact title of the episode, but it really kind of deep dives into, like, what goes on in people's minds and the weird shit and fetishes that they go through. And he could take a joke. He never got offended. And we had a very good conversation. So please check that one out. That was one of my personal favorites.
Hell yeah. I'll listen to that one.
It was just a good episode. But
those are the ones that wear like mascot costumes, right? But he was talking about really cool ones where they have like air conditioning and all sorts of cool stuff, like batteries and stuff hooked up into their costumes.
Yeah, like $5,000 suits, he was saying. Like, they spend a lot of money. Yeah, man. Can you imagine that?
There was this guy that was on the Kill Tony podcast for a long time in the beginning. He was called the Iron Patriot, and they called him Iron Patriot because of copyright reasons. They couldn't call him Iron Man, but it was like an Iron Man suit. They had like AC and shit. It was like a $4,000 suit that he looked just like Iron Man. It had a light in the center and the eyes and everything. It was like, looked like an Iron Man suit. And he was like, yeah, man, it's pretty comfortable in here. It's kind of cool. It's got a little AC thing.
I'll tell you what, though. Iron Patriot was actually a real superhero. Yes. I believe that was a Captain America Iron Man, like a mix or whatever, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I now that you say that, I do remember him explaining that. I was like, actually, Tony, Iron Patriot is real.
So are you a comic book fan?
Not really. I know a lot. Well, not a lot. But I know enough, I guess, because a lot of my friends are and were. So just through their conversations and talking to them, or because I am in like the Batman movies, I've been corrected so many times about things that I've said that, oh, that's not how it went in the comic books. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, I didn't know that, man. I like Michael Keaton.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, I'm the same exact way. I don't read comic books either, but I'll watch the movies.
Don't you fucking hate watching movies with people like that too? By the way, because I guess I can be that person sometimes.
Yeah, you are.
Because I'm a comic snob, man. Like I've got I don't think I've showed you my tattoos, but I got like a Harley Quinn Joker tattoo on my leg. I'm that serious about comics, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh man, how do you feel about the new one coming out?
The new Suicide Squad?
The Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
He's got cool glasses.
You know what? That Joker one looks badass, dude. I didn't like it in the beginning, but they just showed a new trailer, and I'm very excited about it. It looks like he could be the best Joker, and he's a great actor.
So. I really think so. I was asked on a podcast the other night with my old roommate Blair, and she said Heath or Jack Nicholson, and I was like, we're going to have to wait until Joaquin Phoenix comes out because I think that's going to be the best one. Now, for nostalgia's sake, I'm going to say Jack Nicholson every time just because that was my introduction to that dark world of Batman, and I love it, and I mean, Batman's my shit. So
I like Jack Nicholson so much,
me
man.
Me too.
So much. I hated when Heath Ledger came in.
Well, I mean, do you think it's a case of like that's what you grew up with and that's why you like it because it's sentimental to you?
Yep.
Or do you just really think he was that much better?
No, because what did I say about Spider-Man? We the nerd and I have had this conversation about Spider-Man too, where I've liked Tobey Maguire, right?
Yeah,
I liked him a lot. And then who's the second guy?
Andrew Garfield.
And I liked him, and I'm like, oh my god,
he's
better than Tobey Maguire. And then the last one, Tom Holland, right?
Good job, because I don't remember.
I fucking love him.
Yeah,
as Spider-Man, love him. So like, no, I don't think in Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire one was when I was young.
True.
So, like, no, I just like Jack Nicholson and what's his name? Who was Batman?
It's Michael Keaton.
Oh my god, he's my favorite.
And you see, you know, each Batman has brought a new thing to the table. Like,
true.
Each Batman has done something different with the role, and I feel like that the Joker did the same thing. And Michael Keaton's Batman was nothing like. I don't know. Yeah, Michael Keaton's Batman was nothing like the Val Kilmer or the George Clooney Batman. I don't think, right, personally. And then the Christian Bale did the same thing. It was like each one of them was their own movie, and like their own in their own universe in a way. Just
see, I liked who Ben Affleck. I liked him as Batman.
I thought Ben Affleck was great as Batman. He played Batman like he had been Batman for 30 years.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought that was great.
Do you watch the TV shows at all? The
Gotham. I haven't watched any of those.
Batman, but the
Flash.
The WB
going
shows.
Into my stuff. Yeah, you're going into my stuff. The Flash, the Arrow, and all that stuff.
I watched Arrow for like a season and a half, but it got a little slow for me. And
I didn't like it either.
I mean, it was great. I liked the story of it, and I liked. What's the other one? The Netflix thing, Iron Fist.
Was with Danny Rand. Iron Fist.
Yep. I like that one. That one was cool because, too, I like. Doesn't GZA do that one?
Yes.
Because I like that a lot. That was pretty interesting.
Well, the thing that I like about the WB shows that they're doing now, and I like what Netflix was doing until, you know, and I'm going to rant about Netflix again in a minute. But they have this thing where they are doing like cross promotion of all the shows, and they're bringing every character together, which is amazing. And they're bringing back people from the movies and old canceled TV shows. So the guy from Smallville is going to play Clark Kent, and Lois Lane from that series is coming in. And they're going to do this whole mixture of galaxies and dimensions and shit like they do in the comic books.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be in the same show, which is fucking amazing, man.
That is awesome. I did see that the other day because I did watch Smallville. I had a roommate that was like weirdly into that show. Like he was just like, it was so weird. Like not only was he into the show, but he was just talking about how ripped was whatever his name was that played Superman.
I can't remember his name.
I can't either. But he was just talking about, man, that dude's ripped, man. He must work out all day long. And I'm like, bro, we good? You all right? You need me to leave? but yeah, so I have watched Smallville a little bit.
But like, oh, okay, now here goes my Netflix. All right, so where's my soapbox at? Let me stand on this motherfucker real quick.
Because
I'll tell you something about Netflix, dude. I fucking hate Netflix because they start shows and they don't finish them. And I feel like they're almost like my live thoughts because sometimes I'll start a thought and I won't finish it, you know? That's what Netflix is. You go through your Netflix channel guide or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and you're going to see, you know, this great show, and it's only got one season. And you get another show, two seasons, and it never finishes. They just start shit they can't finish. You know, it's like a middle school fight between a bully and some punk.
I will say this. They do that a lot, but I think that the ones that they do continue with are solid as fuck.
Have you liked?
I really like Dear White People. I really like Everything Sucks. That's going to come back for another season. I'm pretty sure that the Ricky Gervais one, the with him and the dog about dealing with death, afterlife.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Is that the cartoon?
No. That's actually a real one. But it's so good. It's so fucking good. But yes, they do. They do that. They did that to me with shit. What was it? Ah, fuck. I can't. You know what? I'm actually thinking about networks now. I'm thinking about like Showtime and HBO.
We were into a couple.
See, I'm into. Well, we were into the Orange is the New Black.
But they finished it.
They finished that. Mm-hmm. Stranger Things.
Finishing that one.
Hopefully one more season.
Yes.
Right. It kind of ended, but we're hoping for one more season.
I think one more season is enough.
Yeah. And then, if it has one season, I'm not going to watch it. I refuse to watch it. But if there's multiple seasons on there, I'm like, oh, okay, let me check this out. And so I heard about this awesome show and I was so excited because there was two seasons and the third season was supposed to be coming out. And it was the OA.
Fuck that.
I loved that show, man.
Me too.
And the cliffhanger.
Oh my God, they're not bringing it back.
Canceled the same week.
Those motherfuckers. They did do that now. That was bullshit.
I was so pissed, man. That show was amazing. Cliffhanger. And I was at the end of my seat. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be so good. And then canceled. No more.
I wonder if that's just viewership. I wonder if it is all numbers, if it's just the sort of thing to where, because I was in this show on Showtime called I'm Dying Up Here about stand-up comedy, and I tweeted a lot of the cast from the show and was like, man, I hope this, when I started watching it, I was like, this show is great. I hope it never ends. And Eric Griffin, who's in the show, tweeted me and was like, well, I hate to tell you the news, and it's over a year old, but it's been canceled, and they only did two seasons. And I watched a podcast that he did about it. It's like, I wish these people would have watched it when it came out. Like, I wish that they would have watched this shit when it was new. Like, everybody, like, more people would have been into it because it's literally all about numbers.
Right.
And I don't know, because I watched OA and I told a lot of my folks around me to watch it as well. So I was hoping that more people would, but the same happened with Dark. And I was worried about that, but it came back for a second season just recently, so that was pretty surprising. Have you watched that one yet?
I haven't watched that, but I think a lot of it has to do, like, I heard it from word of mouth about the OA. Like, I saw it on Netflix, but like I said, if there's one season, I'm not going to invest my time because I don't know if it's going to get renewed or not. So then when I saw two seasons, I'm like, okay, but I think it was too little too late. They probably didn't have, you know, the feedback or whatever they were looking for. So I don't know, man, Netflix is starting to suck.
I've got it.
They don't have equity in their shows.
They are so much, money in debt right now. They, for all the movies that they've made. And the only reason I keep the Netflix is just for stand up, because I really like stand up comedy, and they are pretty much at the forefront of releasing stand up specials and stuff. So,
well, we're keeping it for
one more month.
Breaking Bad next month.
That's it.
Oh shit. That is next month. That was the most complete show I think I've ever seen.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
See, I enjoyed it, but I never got that into it. Like some people obsessed. Say it's the greatest. I know you are, but actually, for her birthday, I bought her, what's it, Science Bitch shirt? Science Bitch.
And then
Heisenberg
shirt.
The, like, outline face or whatever.
Did you see the new trailer for the Breaking Bad movie last night on the Emmys?
I did not.
I literally, like, and the nerd here will tell you that he's like, you could just see it on YouTube in the morning. I'm like, that's not the same. I recorded the whole Emmys just to see the stupid trailer. I'm so excited. Oh, my God. I can't wait for October 11th, man. I'm pumped. And they're going to disappoint me, but I'm excited.
You never know. They might come through.
It needs to be like a 10-hour movie.
Well, you got a really great showrunner. Gilligan, I think his name is something Gilligan. Vince Gilligan, I think his name is, but he's very good, and I have faith in them. I just don't think it's going to live up to your expectations because they're so high for this movie.
I know, because I say Heisenberg's not dead, and
you were asking me some weird question about numbers, like how many people died. I'm like, I don't fucking know in the last episode
because the trailer says that there were 9 bodies, and I said how many people were shot and killed in that last scene. Is Heisenberg the 10th or is he the 9th? Because I need to know that if he's dead. That motherfucker
was bleeding out. He's dead, man. He's dead. If he's not dead, they better explain the shit out of it.
Because I think he just closed his eyes at the end, like, fuck. You know, right?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. I just, man.
I want to believe he's alive, too. Those were my beliefs as well. I'm hoping for that anyway.
Oh yeah, me too.
Me too, because, I mean, you can't really do the movie with just him in flashbacks. I think he's got to be there.
Yeah, I mean, a Jesse movie would be great too, but that would just be the best. That's what everybody wants. That's what everybody wants. And fuck, why are you making these shows if not for that?
Right.
Why are you back if not for that, to give people what they want?
They were the main duo, and during the Emmys last night, Bryan Cranston was out there, and he had like some stupid thing out there. He was talking to the audience or whatever, and he happened to say something about Albuquerque, and it immediately shot to Mike and Pollo's Chicken.
The black guy.
Yes.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
I can't either.
His group.
Yeah.
Of people. And I'm just like, oh, and I got pumped. I'm like, hell yeah.
She never gets excited.
Julio's Hermanos. What the fuck was his name?
I can picture him. He's got the glasses. He's got the God damn it. Where's Gail?
It's not
Gail. No. Gail was the other cook.
He was a bad motherfucker, though.
What's his name? God damn it. I guarantee you. Gus.
That's right. That's it.
Someone listening to this right now is screaming at their
guns. Gus! Gus!
I'm never going to listen to you guys again, you morons.
Yeah, he had like a small segment on there that he mentioned Albuquerque, and it immediately went to them. And of course, they're cheering like hell. And I'm just, I can you tell I'm pumped? I'm ready.
Oh, I'm ready too. I'm ready for it to be over, God damn it. I see disappointment in your eyes every time I roll off you. Huh?
Oh my god,
Yahtzee!
And that's what you get when you listen to our podcast—dumb shit like that. So, how many podcasts do you do a week, man? Because you just got off of one and you jumped right into this one. Like, how booked are you, my friend?
I don't do as many as this day would suggest. I don't know. I did one yesterday. I'll do these two today, and I've maybe got another one tomorrow, but the only reason I'm doing a shitload this week is because I've been neglecting my listeners over the last couple of weeks just because of my music. My music has been, like, playing gigs and shit have been just super busy here lately, and to be perfectly honest, that takes a lot of energy, and to talk on a podcast takes energy as well. Whether people believe it or not, it does take energy to know that you're being watched or to know that you are saying something that a lot of people are going to hear. Like, that is, anytime you're sharing something with somebody else, that's that's spending energy. And I don't know if that's like scientifically accurate, but that's how I feel about it. So, like, I've been honestly just neglecting my listeners, and not in a bad way. I love you, listeners. I do love you. You know that, right?
Well, it definitely is a responsibility, because, like, we actually had a listener a while back, and they asked us some personal things. Like, I guess she was knocked up or some shit. Remember that? And, like, should she tell her parents?
Oh, at the beginning.
In the very beginning, like, and it was just like, wow, like, we have this kind of influence now. And it was just weird. And we gave her, you know, the best advice we could, and I hope she took it, because I thought we gave her pretty decent advice. And there's other situations too where, like, I interviewed a homeless woman and I was trying to help her out because, like, you know, it's like she's on the streets and she was using public Wi-Fi. The audio came out horrible, but understandably so. The chick is homeless, you know?
And yeah.
When you start realizing the connections you can make with podcasting, it really does open up your eyes to a whole nother world that you may have not have been exposed to. And that's why we do what we do, and we don't really have a set, like, genre or topic. We just kind of do whatever the hell we want.
Right.
Yeah, you never want to pigeonhole yourself.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you guys are very – you have the thing that everybody loves most, and that is the male-female back and forth. That everybody loves that, and it's even better when it is a couple. Like, that's just the – because everybody feels like they're involved in a conversation that they should not be involved in, right?
Yes. I don't feel like I should be involved in the conversation.
And we've gotten that quite a bit, actually. Vince Russo said that before we recorded. He's like, you know what? This is going to be the best interview because I love having a female on the show because we can get that dynamic going.
Dude, he was trying to compare us to Jericho, and that, like,
to Chris Jericho.
I felt sick after that.
It's like, dude, we can't. No, this guy gets a million downloads a week. You know,
God.
Oh, Chris Jericho. What wrestler was it that went crazy and killed his wife? And
Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit. Fucking A. Yes. I always mix him and Chris Jericho up because I saw Chris Jericho. People that I follow on Instagram were like sharing pictures of him because he did something recently that was of some import, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I was like, fuck, didn't he like chop his family up with a fucking? Didn't he do that one? Like, apparently, everybody forgot about that, but it was Chris Benoit. Fucking A.
Chris Benoit, and he shot his wife, killed his kids, and then killed himself.
I don't
right?
think he shot his wife. I think he, like, strangled her to death, and her body.
He killed her.
Well, she was dead for a while, and his wife was a wrestler at one point, or like a valet or something.
Right, he killed her first and left her there.
She sat there, and the kid was in the room with her, like, mommy, mommy. Oh, and then when the kid was sleeping, he took a pillow to the kid's face and suffocated the kid. And then hung himself in, like, the closet or some shit. So, yeah, man. And his wife's name was Woman. Was her wrestling name was Woman. Yeah.
Well, no wonder. I mean, there's no self-worth there. Come on, man. You do better than that. It's like naming your dog.
Creative geniuses in wrestling, you know? But, yeah, like, what do you think would drive someone to murder your family?
It was steroids.
Maybe she ate with her mouth open.
You... But like they were trying to blame CTE because apparently he had severe CTE from, like, you know, wrestling and just banging his head around for so long.
Oh, sure. That's definitely a factor.
It's just fucked up, though, because, like, the guy was jacked up on steroids and he was just like one of those guys performances, and he would go out there and just, like, really live the character. They call him the Wolverine, and the Wolverine is one of the most dangerous, like, animals out there.
Yeah.
Like, ferocious and fierce, wants to just fight shit that's way bigger than it. And that was his storyline. He's a small guy, and it's just fucked up that he killed his family, man.
You know, there are some wrestlers that come out that are all jacked up immediately. Who do I say that always comes out and is freaking hyped immediately?
Ryback.
Was it him?
Yeah, he was the one.
That would turn red and just amped up. And I'm like, dude, calm down. You're just going to a fake wrestling ring. Like chill out for a second. Like, all amped and red and sweaty and, like, just the veins popping. And I'm like, oh, my, what's happening?
They walk out, and it's like if cocaine could jump up off the table and walk out here, that's what it would look like.
Seriously, like, some of them are just like, I don't know, they go crazy as soon as their music hits. It's nuts.
And see, I haven't watched wrestling in a very long time, but I do remember, like, I see it all the time, although those old school Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and Ric Flair videos, and you're like the Ultimate Warrior, and you're like, Jesus, I want to know the drugs. I just want to know. I just want to know what exactly they were on at that time, which is great, because I've gotten to hear, like, DDP and Jake the Snake on Rogan's podcast, which I loved both of those fucking episodes. But just hearing all those guys talk about the shit. But Jake the Snake talking about, you just walk into a room and there's a doctor there and you tell him what you need and he gives you whatever you need, and that was it. Like, he's a doctor crazy. As a drug dealer and stuff like that. I love hearing those stories, but I'm just curious what these guys really are on when they go out there, because that's not pure air.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, like, a lot of them are never going to be 100%. Could be incriminating themselves or others.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake Roberts was one of those guys who I really felt was open, you know, and that was one of my favorite interviews Rogan ever did.
Yeah, same here, man.
I tried getting Jake the Snake Roberts, and this is around the time he was about to do the Rogan podcast. So I sent him an email, and I'm like, hey, Jake, do you do podcasts? And he goes, yeah, I got one coming. And I'm like, all right, well, then I sent him screenshots, because when you try to have a guest on of, like, a certain magnitude, you have to provide proof of, like, your podcast and how you can help them. And we've been dealing with that a lot lately, and dealing with agents and shit, and, you know, like, oh, talk to my people, or email this person, email that person. It drives me freaking insane, because all I'm going to do is have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm screenshotting, you know, like, how many downloads we get a day, a week, a month, a year, whatever. And with Jake, he was like, oh, and he never replied back. And then then the Rogan podcast, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what. He doesn't need it, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, Rogan's got millions.
And I think Jake's doing one now, isn't he? The DDT podcast or something like that?
Yeah, he's got his own podcast now. It's pretty interesting. Yeah. I've listened to a couple episodes. It hasn't, you know, it's been pretty good. He's very open.
He's doing stand-up now, too. Did you know that?
No. A lot of them are, but I didn't know he was.
He's doing stand-up. And Roddy Piper was doing stand-up right at the end of his life, too. A lot of those guys, yeah, they were doing – a lot of them do stand-up. And Jake the Snake will tell stories about I'm sure you watched the episode. You heard him tell the story about them giving him all these snakes, and, like, the guy who's driving him around walks into the bathroom to this 8-foot fucking python in the bathtub. Just the way he's telling these stories like that. Like, that is fucking great comedy. I guarantee he'd be good on stage.
Have you you don't watch wrestling anymore, but you don't have the WWE network?
Yeah, I don't. I haven't watched any of that in years.
They have something on there called Storytime, and Jake the Snake had I don't know what the hell the story was.
It's about the snake getting loose.
But, like, it's like cartoon version where they're talking as themselves, but, like, a cartoon version is running around doing whatever. Yeah. And, like, all I remember seeing from that was a snake going freaking nuts all over the place, and they were trying to describe, like, what the hell happened. I love watching shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Those stories are great. And just hearing, like, him tell stories about driving Andre the Giant around from town to town and drinking a case of beer on an hour drive. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny. A fucking can of beer in Andre the Giant's hands would be like one of us holding a, like, shot a glass.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was such a massive man, but can you believe someone drank 100 beers in a sitting?
Oh, dude. And when he wanted to drink, he would drink a case of wine. When he really felt like drinking, he would drink a case of wine.
Did you hear about him? Like, he was so big, just so disgusting as a human being, where he would get drunk and people would talk about him like he would have to lay in a bathtub and he would shit like a horse.
Yep.
And it would be like a humongous pile of shit. He would shit and piss in both. Yeah. And shit in the regular toilet.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he would shit so much. He was just a big massive man.
He'd probably destroy the toilet. And imagine how, you remember when toilets were just that small back then, when toilets weren't as big as they are now?
You know what we need? A fucking bidet.
Oh, tell y'all, you know what? Get that. You can get them on Amazon.com. They're attachable. This attachable bidet.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
How much?
Like, I don't know, 30, 40 bucks, something like that.
Dude, he uses baby wipes. Dude, he doesn't need no damn bidet.
They changed my wipes. They changed my life having baby wipes in the bathroom. I don't know about you, man, but every time I take a shit.
I'm like, why are we talking about this?
Because why not? We're very open people. You get the cucumber scented ones, and they're and they are at Walmart, the green Walmart. We call them green Walmart and blue Walmart. You got
grocery store and the big. I do the same thing.
Well, yeah, man. So
little Walmart, big Walmart.
Get the cucumber scented ones. You use a couple of those, and then you dry off with a regular piece of tissue, and there you go. You're fresh again. No issues. You feel clean.
Do you remember, just like we can't remember what life was like before we had a cell phone, do you remember what life was like when we just used regular toilet paper all the time?
Oh, my God, yeah.
You feel like a fucking caveman, don't you? Like, what the fuck am I, a peasant?
You know what the worst part is when you take a really good shit and you use, like, regular tissue and a piece breaks off but you don't know it's still in your ass?
What the fuck is happening? What is happening right now?
And you're walking around and then you wipe. Later, you're like, wait, there was that tissue from earlier.
Oh my God,
why is it still there?
Nasty fuck.
What?
No, you tell you this. I'm going to bless you with my information here, YouTube world and everybody else. Every single time I get in the fucking shower immediately after, and I have one of those fucking detachable shower wands, and that is my fucking bidet.
Oh my God. I
just
can't.
Shove it on in there, man.
What is happening right now? I'm in the fucking twilight zone.
It's not the twilight zone.
It's the twilight zone. It's the toilet zone.
It's just real life, dear. God damn it.
It's the toilet zone.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised you haven't left me yet for that damn shower head that's got like all the freaking things on there.
I don't use it the way you do.
All right, well, I went in there. Now this is a true story. Right? This is a couple months ago. I went in there. And it was loose. And I'm like, wait a second. You took this thing down because you were getting down with the shower head. And I thought you were.
And what happened? I said that I cleaned the shower head with the CLR or whatever. Because down here in the south.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that.
You have to, because it turns red or whatever. Red. There's lead or there's something in the water. So you have to clean it really good. So I happened to clean it that day. And immediately he comes home and accuses me.
Of making love to the shower.
Doing something. Dude, but it's clean.
Well, right? That gives you permission to do it now.
You had the high pressure one on.
I would imagine
you were choosing
the little massage one that goes around in the circle.
I think that's the one she was.
The Bellagio option.
I can't help if I'm cleaning it and I'm twisting it all the way to one side so I can get all the shit off of it. Your ass is clean. It's all good. So,
yeah, I can't help it if I'm just rinsing myself off and, you know, it takes a little longer to do certain spots.
Exactly.
There you go. It's so, just circumstantial.
So who have been some of your favorite guests that you've had on your show, man?
Let me see. My favorite so far... I always love having my buddy Scott Mann on, who was on yesterday. He's one of my favorite guests. Just he is very open about what he thinks and how he feels and doesn't really hold back too much on what he really thinks. And he's honest. I really enjoyed having him on. I've liked my drummer Smitty is always a good episode when he's on here, just because we're like brothers and we'll argue about shit and. That's always fun. I don't know. I've just had so many, man. It's hard to pin down. Jamie Deluxe is always a good time because he's the same. He's very honest and he doesn't really give a shit. You know, he'll say exactly what he thinks and means. Those are the guests that I like, are the ones that I can tell they're not putting on a show for me. They're not putting on a show for the YouTubers. They're actually talking to me.
Right.
Those are the ones that I like.
Well, that's the thing. You got to have a natural conversation, like a back and forth. Just people talking and shooting the shit, man.
Like, I feel like I have to look at a list because I feel like I've leaned so many people out that are going to be like, oh, so you don't enjoy having me on, huh? Jesus Christ. Get the fuck out of here.
When we started the podcast, like, we kind of, like, never wanted to have guests on the show. We just wanted to shoot the shit with each other.
I didn't want it. Well, I think we got me to blame for that.
No, well, it's not just you, because I didn't want to do it either. I wanted to interview real people, like, talk to people on the street. And it kind of, I don't know what happened. We interviewed one person, and then it spiraled out of control after that. And we were getting requests to get on the show from people in that same genre.
We interviewed Karen Parsons.
That's right. It was Karen Parsons. She was our first. So it was our second person we interviewed.
And then, like, all hell broke loose after that. Like, I don't know what happened.
I interviewed a very famous porn. And after that one, like, I was getting emails to get on the show because, like, she has a very large reach. She's like AVN porn star, Sarah J, if you ever heard of her.
Yeah.
A very famous porn star. And then, like, after I interviewed, said something like, hey, this guy's got a good show. And then we just started getting more and more requests, and there's still a couple out there that, you know, are going to be recorded eventually, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, like, it just kind of happened, and, like, now we're doing one a week, you know, just about, like, interview-wise. So
yeah. That's good that you've got that.
Well, do you prefer doing it by yourself, or do you prefer, like, interviewing someone else because you got that natural back and forth?
It depends. Sometimes... Because I'm just really fucking lazy, sometimes if I'm the only one here and I have the option to continue to lay on the couch and be a lazy piece of shit or get over here and crank this machine up and do a podcast, then I feel like I'm choosing the couch more often than not lately. So, but I think in the wintertime when I'm not as busy musically and I have more days off in a week, I will enjoy the ones where it's just me with my guitar talking to my YouTube channel. And just because that's, I won't, if I'm on a thought, then I don't have anything to rob me of that thought that I'm on. And I can get my, not saying that that's an issue when I have guests, but just if it's something that I need to get off of my chest because it will fester and turn into something different and, you know, get me in my feelings about something, then that is the sort of thing that I use the solo talks for.
Exactly, so, man.
I do enjoy those.
Well, I used to do a lot of solo podcasts, and I used to talk a lot about, like, life in general and just things that were bothering me. I used to just use those as, like, my platform just to get what I have to say off my chest because no one's going to listen otherwise. If I go to someone randomly on the street and say, hey, man, you want to hear my thoughts? You're not going to listen.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to put it out there, and whoever chooses to listen can listen, and whoever wants to listen will listen. So it's just really nice to have that outlet and just to know that someone's listening out there. The only roadblock we have as far as our podcast goes is feedback. And it's kind of deceiving if you look at our iTunes page. We've got, how many comments?
263.
263 right now. And it's like, oh, well, there's your feedback right there.
That's but
it's
huge, like, they come in bunches on iTunes.
It'll be like they come in bunches and then they stop for a while. And then we're asking for feedback and it just doesn't come. So there's just sometimes where it's like you're doing a show and, like, you just kind of have to keep plowing through it, because if you get wrapped up in, like, hey, this isn't happening this fast, or it's happening too fast, or whatever,
yeah,
you're just going to lose focus of what's more important, and that's just having an outlet for your voice, you know?
Oh, yeah, and utilizing it is I think a lot of other people, and I'm one of those people of the church of everybody should have a podcast. And if not a podcast, just something where they get their thoughts out, something where you get those things that might sit in your brain and rot and turn and spread through other parts of your brain, and then you end up carrying that stuff with you through other aspects of your life. And, you know, I'm a person that would do that sometimes. I would take the negativity that I felt through two other parts of my life. And having this podcast has literally brought that to a screeching halt over the last couple of years.
Well, you know what? I have to disagree with you on one point. not everyone should have a podcast, because there's some out there that are fucking awful. And I've tried to listen to quite a few, man. Holy shit.
And that's why I did correct myself. I was, and not necessarily a podcast, but just a place where you log your thoughts, like a place where you speak. Like if it's just you, you go on your voice recorder on your iPhone and talk, and then just listen to yourself and listen to the things that you say. And you're like, oh, that sounds a little delusional. I should probably address that. I think that that's important for folks to know exactly who they are, because I don't think a lot of people know who they are.
It definitely does add a different perspective when you can hear yourself talk, because sometimes self-reflect a little bit.
And right.
I have these conversations with myself at night where I stay awake at night and I'm arguing with people that I have never met, or I'm anticipating something that's going to happen at work or a confrontation that may never happen. But I'm going through every scenario, whether good or bad, and I'm having this conversation with people. So whenever the conversation does happen, I'm already prepared because I had it all night long, you know, like different things going on. So it's just nice to be able to just talk and just let diarrhea of the mouth take over.
Dude, you know, whatever you happens, sound like happens. You're speaking from my fucking brain, bro.
It's fucked up, isn't it?
It sounds like you're speaking from my brain, because I do the same thing. I have these imaginary conversations in which you weigh every option so that you know the best route when it actually happens. So anything that happens, you've already prepared for it mentally.
Exactly. And you know, it's definitely a fault, because sometimes you want to shut the thing off because it keeps me up at night a lot. And lately, it's just been worse and worse, because there's different scenarios that happen in life. And once you're used to something and something different comes into the, you know, play or whatever.
Yeah.
It really throws a monkey wrench into your life and fucks everything up, man. And it sucks, you know, it really does.
Oh yeah. That's one part of it that isn't fun. I mean, nobody likes monkey wrenches, but I don't know. It's, but then again, somebody does, you know. I will say this, that maybe I've had situations that I've turned into something that wasn't as important as, or wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. So I worsened the situation by it. But I'll say more often than not, by thinking that way and going through every possible option and every possible outcome, every time has done more help than harm in my life. Just so I don't end up in situations that I've not prepared for. I don't end up in situations in which, like, something happens that I don't know.
Yeah, just being over analytical, you know. I don't know, like, if it's worse or better to be that way, because I do like being prepared, but I hate missing sleep, and I think that makes me more cranky the next day. It makes things worse, and that's kind of like the curveball that I'm not ready for. Just, hey, what happens if I'm not rested enough? If I'm not of clear mind, you know, there's just so many different things to prepare for, but other things that happen that you're not prepared for. Like if I don't sleep at night for a couple of days straight, and that's happened before. Like I've had a couple of nights recently where I've only slept for like 1 hour over a 2 day span.
Oh man.
And then I'm super cranky and it sucks. You know, like you can't help it. You wake up, you're wide awake. You're looking at the iPad. You're going down that rabbit hole. You're looking at shit you shouldn't be looking at. Before you know it, you get all these useless facts in your head because you've been searching the internet all night long, but you can't deal with your real life.
I'm of the church of that too, man. But I stay up until I can't stay up anymore. And like, I will stay up until my eyes literally just won't stay open anymore. And then I go to bed and I sleep until I wake up and take a piss and go back to sleep. And then I'll wake up and take a piss and I'll decide whether or not I want to go back to sleep or not. I sleep until I don't feel like it anymore. But I've learned that about myself, and I've learned that that is the way that I perform at my peak performance. So I've like made my life work around that. And that's why I do in the job that I do, where I only technically have to work for like 4 hours a night most nights. And that's like, if I didn't have that job or this life, that would not work. And a lot of people look down on me because I live life like this, because they can't, or not because they can't, because just, I don't know if it's just because they don't, they think that I also shouldn't.
How the hell did you get to that point, though, where you can just like, kind of choose what the hell you want to do?
I just decided that I wanted to do it, whether it made me broke or not. And
that makes sense.
I just did, because I was like, you know what? And whether I'm broke or whether I'm not, I'm going to still do this thing. I'm still going to play music. So why not just double down on it? And when I first started, I had two open mics a week that got me $50. They got me $50, and I owed like $400 a month in rent. So just places, the open mics that I was playing, and just borrowing money from people just to pay rent, and that just barely getting by, and just living with roommates with like four of us in one house, and just shit like that for as long as I did, as long as I could. And then we ended up getting in the Cornbread. Me and Adam and Smitty got together, and this has been about 10 years ago. And then about 9 years ago, we got contacted by Scott Bird, who's the agent in the area. What's up, Eminem? I see you in the chat, buddy. We got the agent in the area that hooked us up with a calendar full of gigs in January. And I mean, that just, all of that stuff just kind of like, I feel like if you do what you want to do, the money will just show up. But I picked it at the right time of my life. You know, I was like 21, 22. So, I mean, that doesn't matter when you're 21 or 22. You'll fuck it. I'll live wherever I live. I'll sleep wherever I sleep. And I didn't care. So I just got comfortable with the thought of doing what I wanted to do, but being broke. I was like, okay, well, fuck it. Being a musician is 90% talent and 10% just being fine with being broke.
Of course. I mean, there's such an open market for it. I mean, there's so many people out there that can do something, you know, and same thing with comedians. Like if you're a stand-up comedian, I know you mentioned you listen to stand-up on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of those guys are never going to make money, you know, and they're content with it. They just like doing what they do.
It's an addiction, man. You get to the point to where you hear, and for them, they get that laugh. Or for me, I get, you know, somebody to come up to me and say, man, I really enjoyed the way you made me feel. And that's an addictive situation. It's like very addictive. And I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else ever. So I just leaned into it.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's about the validation? Because as far as podcasters, people that don't like to talk, you know, in real life situations, a lot of us are introverts. Do we need some sort of validation in life?
I mean, of course. Everybody needs validation to their own standard. And that could be completely different for certain people. Like, for instance, I'm fine with playing a gig in which I don't get a single clap because I've been doing this thing for 10 years and the phone keeps ringing, and that's validation enough for me. So, like, for the podcast, doing that for sure. I think a lot of podcasters are introverts, and because I feel like I'm an introvert that's very good at pretending to be an extrovert sometimes. And I feel like that's my life.
Yeah, mine too, man. Like, I work in a retail environment where I deal with employees that I supervise over, and customers that come in, I have to deal with them. And I always deal with a smile on my face, and I always try to make sure that everyone leaves happy. But it's very hard because I can really give a shit less about anything really in life except for my immediate family. And it's just hard because when you turn the microphone on, you hit the record button, you become a different person, and the lines start to blur after a while. Like, is this really who I am, or is that other person who I am? And it's just tough. It's like you're living a double life. It's like you put your cape on, your mask on, and you're a superhero, you know, or a villain, whatever you want to be. It's just a whole different aspect of yourself that you have to explore.
Absolutely. And I've gotten to the point lately to where I've been trying to sneak little parts of the real me in there to see how people react to it. You know, like, just because I'm getting to the point to where after I quit drinking and quit doing hard drugs and stuff like that, and I replaced that addiction with this podcast, I am realizing that I've been trying to, I don't know, I had to have something to replace all that other shit with, and I've been trying to figure out who I am. I realized that I was just drunk or just fucked up all the time, and I had no idea who I was. So I spent the last couple of years by myself at my house. Like, I've rarely let people come over unless it's like podcast related, and like I crunch time by myself all the time and just spend so much time by myself because I wanted to know who I was. I didn't know. I had no clue who I was. I was just fucked up all the time. And I think a lot of folks have that same issue, is where they start to learn who they are and they're like, fuck, I can't let the world see this. I can't let the world see this person. So I have to become this complete separate entity. And I feel like I would lean too hard into that sometimes. So I'm trying now to dip little pieces of who I really am into real world situations just to see if the world might be okay with that person coming out every now and again.
But where do you find that medium where, like, you come to grips with who you are without the mic and who you are with the mic? Because for me, what I found is, like, when I'm talking to my wife, it's like some things do get exaggerated a bit. Like, I do, you know, like, hit her up a lot, and I, you know, like, I, you know, ask her a lot of weird questions and insinuate a lot of things, and I grope you.
No, stop. You're purposely saying that shit, and I understand why you're saying it. You do that off the mic, so let's not get it twisted.
Well,
you don't just sit there and all of a sudden when the mic comes on, you start saying innuendos or whatever. Exactly. You say that 24/7.
So it's like you really do start to feel like, you know, like what part is real, what part's fake, because I know
the there's a person lot. You are out in public is fake.
Oh, you mean
I know
the
that.
Nice guy?
Like, I'll be honest with you. Honest to God, we've been together 15 years almost.
Almost.
When he steps out this door in this house, he's fake. You meet him on the street, that's not him. The nice person that you know. And I'm not saying that you're mean or anything like that. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you aren't social. At home, we're in close-knit, it's hard to explain. Like, we get along, right? We somehow manage to find each other. I don't even know how that happened. Because we're both very much introverted. But if we run into someone at Walmart or at Target or whatever, you are a completely different person. Like, you have a different voice when you're talking to these people. You're smiling. Your eyes are open. And it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen
it's
in my
that
life.
Retail smile.
And that's just not you.
It's that the customer's always right smile.
Yeah. Like, he sees someone from, like, a customer from his job, and he's like, oh, hey, how are you? Whoa.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing? What? This is the Myrtle Beach nerd from WBIX Radio. How you doing?
It's so weird because that's not normal. That's not what we get at home. Yeah. We get like some introvert that just like
just wants to be left alone. Just wants to sleep all day long.
Yeah, just listen. I love you. Just leave me alone. That's my thing. It's like, listen, I'm not, this has nothing to do with, and people take that on them, right? It doesn't sound like you do, Nerdette, but a lot of folks in my life would take that on them, like, oh, you don't want to hang out with me no more. I don't know what I did. And I'm like, it's nothing that you did. You just don't I'm a crazy person. And it's hard to explain.
I'll say this, and I tried this weekend, and he'll agree with me. I try once in a while to hold his hand.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to do that? And, like, we'll be out in public. Where were we?
We're walking into the Walmart down here in Garden City.
And I was trying. What the hell are you doing? I'm okay with that. It's all right. Like, we've been together so long. I'm pretty much the same way. Like, he'll go by. He'll be from the kitchen, and I'll be in the living room. He'll walk by and grope me. And I'm like, dude, don't fucking touch me. That's just our – I guess it's just – how we are, and that's why we fit so well together.
The thing about love and finding someone that you can paddle with is finding someone who could put up with your bullshit. And we found each other, and we both put up with each other's bullshit. That's all you need in life.
Yes.
Even at bad times, like we both in our personal lives have had some really, really bad times, and we've both been there for the other person. And like once that goes by, Like, really, like, you don't really need anyone else. So, fuck it. I don't need a handhold. It would be nice, but I don't need it.
Aw, that's so sweet, you guys.
Hey, there you go. See, he says it's sweet. Look at you. The nerd over here is blushing.
Oh, my dimples are out.
No, but seriously, though, that's beautiful. That's why you guys have people, even after listening to one episode of your podcast, asking you for advice on things in their life, because you are that genuine, and that's not hard to see. And as somebody who listened to a couple of episodes before I met you or talked to either of you guys, like, I can just see that you are genuine, and this thing is not fake. This thing that you guys are doing is real, and I understand that because I feel the same way that when I go out into the world, I've got the mask on, you know, but I have been, like I said, sneaking little portions of the real me in there. And you know what? Folks don't respond well to that guy. So I realize now why I've been wearing that mask for so long. But yeah, being genuine and being real is what makes, I think, you guys show enjoyable. And that is very, very easy to see that y'all aren't putting on for this. Like, this is really y'all, and that's oh, very good.
Yeah, like, this is like this is it.
This is it's for better so or worse. Up. For better or worse.
This is what we are.
And we appreciate that too, man. And the thing is like, a lot of the people may be off put by some of the things we say to each other, but I mean, that's just how we live our lives, man. You know, and
well, we kind of joke around with each other and then nitpick and we poke each other, but like that's all in good fun. Like, that's how we are in our normal lives, and we try to bring that over to the podcast, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback, like, well, I'm the same way, and which makes us feel good,
right?
Because then they feel good that they're not alone. So
the one word we see a lot is refreshing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, breath of fresh air. Absolutely. Like, to see that people, that there are other people out there, like, where you guys give them like a graph in a way to hold their own relationships up to and be like, oh shit, so these guys are doing the same stuff that we're doing, and I thought this was weird. They're doing it too. This is fucking okay, so this is allowed. So this is part of the rules. Okay.
Listen, I still think it's weird, but I'm going along with it.
I think the best comment we ever got was, yeah, this is a story about a guy trying to get laid from his wife.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that the motive, though? Is that's what your carnal instincts are?
Pretty much, to reproduce. 14 years, I'm still trying to get laid by the same woman. Now,
my favorite comment
was... That's beautiful,
was,
by the way.
My favorite comment was, I love the nerdette and the nutcase.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite comments. Like, just like that's how we come across. Like, I don't know. It's funny.
So what the hell do we all want to get out of this whole podcasting thing? Like, what do we want? Like, what's our ultimate end game from this whole thing?
I just want people to be better. I just want people to want to be better. I don't want them to just be better. I want them to strive to be a better person and want to be a better person and shine a light on the things in their lives that they don't want to shine a light on, because I don't know. I think that's important for people to do. And that's sort of my MO, is be a good person in a world full of shitty people. Don't be one of those people. Be a good person. It's not that hard. I think that's, I don't know. I just want people to be more careful about who they are.
What does good mean anymore, though?
Stop being so goddamn sensitive. I can't take it anymore. Yeah. I can't take people that are being sensitive to every fucking thing.
I hate it.
If I say the sky is blue or purple, it's fucking purple. So just shut up.
I don't identify as purple.
No. So see, and then you bring it to...
Are we there? Okay. Yeah, you cut out there for a second.
Well, we were just saying, like, we're all about the same age, right?
Yeah, I'll be 33 next month.
You see?
Oh, he's young.
Oh, yeah, he's a young man.
I'm a fucking child. Shots
out. Yeah, shit, man. Fuck. I'm getting gray hair, man. This is not cool.
You want to look? I got it right there on the camera there. You want to see that? I got all the gray hair.
But we were just talking about basically how, like before we cut out, how the world is just so sensitive now. And it's like, when is this going to end and where is it going to go? You know, like, where do you see this going? Because we think it's going to get worse.
I think that if things like Dave Chappelle and Bill Burr's stand-up keep coming out to people to make light of these situations like that, I think that that will create, I don't know. I don't want to believe that it's going to continue to just go down and like decel into this nonsensical world where nobody is safe to say anything because something is going to offend somebody. And that's just, I think it's foolish for me to try to think that that's going to be able to be possible, because there's more of us than there are of them. I just think that they're talking louder.
I said something about 5 months ago, right? The Little Mermaid cast was brought out, and I opened my mouth on the podcast, said something that I did not agree with, and I still to this day, I don't give a shit what people say, I don't agree with it. And we posted the podcast. All hell broke loose that night. One idiot listened to the podcast and went to Twitter, and like all hell broke loose. Like, I don't know what the hell happened, but like they retweeted it a million times and people, like, it went nuts. Yeah. And I just don't understand why you can't just,
like, the comment, because like we should clarify the comment was, the comment was like, why did they change your nationality when they could have just created a new princess?
That's what I said.
That was it.
Because you brought nothing. I'm not racist. I'm just saying.
Well, it's not a racist comment because, like, yeah, if you have an established white princess
With red hair,
why can't she continue to be that? Why can't you just make a new princess? Like, why do you have to include? Let's just say hypothetically that they, and this is exactly the conversation we had. If they took Tiana and Hilary Duff played Tiana in the next movie,
I would be pissed.
It would be,
you can't do
the
same thing.
It would be an outrage, and I guarantee you it would be all over the media. Why did they turn her white?
That would be a problem.
And it's like, all right, we're going down that path, you know?
I said something about the mermaid, and like all hell broke loose. And I was just saying a comment, but that's what I like our podcast about. Like, we don't filter what we say. Like, what we think is what we say, and like, if you get upset, like, sorry, like, I'm not going to change my opinion.
Those are your thoughts. I mean, and I've said the podcast is the Wild West of the internet. This is the last place where everything is safe. And if they ever start policing this, then we're fucked.
Yeah, for how long though? You know, like, how long do we have this left? Like, this is our sacred space. You know, like, this is our thing.
That's all I'm worried about, is because that's what bothers me when we start to talk about things like Alex Jones and Milo or
Yiannopoulos.
Yeah. Just people who have been silenced for having opinions. And just I don't understand what we're doing here. If everything should be safe to say, just because you accept something to mean one thing does not mean that it means that one thing. It just means that's what you think it means. And
why can't we have conversations?
Right. And I said something, and I thoroughly explained it.
We prefaced everything.
Because I said, if Mulan was changed to a white girl, I would have a problem. Because I'm white. Okay, so that's, and our listeners know that. But it was just like, I just said one little thing, and they latched onto that one tiny thing that
happens.
I said.
That's what happens.
Even after everything being explained for 20 minutes afterwards, and it was just like, oh, fuck this shit.
It was one little out of an entire conversation.
Like, fucking that, we got banned from Twitter.
We lost everything.
iTunes?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Did you really get banned from Twitter and iTunes?
Oh, yeah, but we had a big sponsorship coming up with Podbean, who hosts our site. And they were going to sponsor us, and they were like, wait, we can't do that because there's been a complaint, and there's an investigation going, right? And everything came back negative. Like, they were like, oh, wait, there was really no problem, but we had to pull it because, you know, someone complained, and it's like, all right. And now we are actually featured, coincidentally enough. This is the first day out of a couple of weeks that we're going to get featured on the main page there.
Oh, right on.
Because, like, they apologize, and, you know, like, site, and they were like, yeah, well, you know, we have to take these things seriously, and you guys did nothing wrong. We were absolved of all sorts of wrongdoing because we didn't do shit wrong. We just basically said words that people didn't like. And it was only a couple people. It was like two or three people out of like the thousands that listen to the show every day. And we just kind of got held.
Needless to say, let me just throw this in quick. That's where our Russian listeners came from. Indonesia listeners come from.
So thank you.
Because one person on Twitter got mad and retweeted it, and it got retweeted and retweeted and retweeted.
It was big.
So all they did was give us publicity that we never even asked for. And now we have listeners in other countries.
At that point, we were getting like 900,000 downloads a day, and it went to like 3,000 out of nowhere. What the fuck? It was huge.
That's pretty big. Like, I've been, like I said, I've been doing this thing for a couple of years now, and I might get 100 downloads an episode, like, throughout all of the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those numbers are very, very good.
Yeah, we in the beginning, we were getting, like, what, 10 to 20?
Not many.
It was very, very slow, but the nerd here is...
I used to be a hustler. I used to be
on the internet. He's a hustler on social media, man. He goes to Reddit. He does all the things and hashtags and all sorts of weird stuff.
Until we started self-sustaining a little bit, and we got a built-in audience. So now I don't fuck with it anymore. I don't feel like I have to.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll share some of those secrets with you off the air, my friend, because I think you're a good guy, and I think you got a really good show. I like everything you're doing. I like the fact that you play your music during the show, and I think it's pretty cool. It adds a whole nother realm, and you play the bar by our house, which I don't want to reveal the name of because I don't want people pinging us.
But did you tell him, though, off the air what bar it was?
Yeah, and he plays.
So how many times do you go to that bar?
We haven't in a while, but about every month. But we can talk about that off air so that it doesn't dox you.
Yeah, because just with
Arky. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I would love to go, but because of the kids, like, I don't know how the hell we can go and watch.
Yeah, and that's a late one too.
Yeah, if it's late enough, we could probably pull it off. But I want him to share the story with you because I didn't tell you this story, but he told me this story about him being doxxed.
Oh, yeah. So
I don't know if she knows what doxing is, so let's explain what doxing is real quick.
Doxes mean you didn't get paid.
Doxing means that someone revealed your personal information on the internet, like where you live, where you work, things of that nature.
Okay.
So I was live doing a sports talk one day and got 11 distinct knocks on my door in the middle of a live stream, and it was the Georgetown County SWAT team, and they had been called, and they called the police department and not 911. They called the police department in Georgetown and said, I am... blah, blah, blah. I am at blah, blah, blah address. I have just shot my wife in the face and I plan to shoot someone else. And I don't really know what I'm going to do next. And then they hung up. And then fucking two dozen fucking cops, a dozen in the front and a dozen in the back, were with fucking... I walked down to my front door after they asked me if I'd step outside. And I was like, yeah, sure. I stepped outside. And then I saw people walk in like with... whatever, I don't know. I'm not a gun guy. I don't know what they were, but they were definitely not pistols walking towards me. And there was just I got swatted, and I didn't even... we had done an episode about swatting on the Sunset Grill that I got to be perfectly honest, I think I was just really stoned for that episode because I don't fucking remember anything about swatting. So that happened. I had fucking, they came through the house. They walked in. They walked through the entirety of the house. My guest was scared shitless because the first thing he saw was a gun come around the corner of the fucking door.
Yeah, see, absolutely not. That's exactly right. I don't ever want our names on here.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that people think it might be stupid that we go by the Nerd and Nerdette, but we say what we feel and how we think.
Right.
And I don't want people looking us up and then showing up at our door. Like, absolutely not. We have kids. No, thank you.
That's the difference, is having family and kids is the whole thing. And I actually told Nerd that. I was like, you know, if I had that, I would do the same exact thing.
Yeah, it's just like, in that, I feel like we're being shady a bit, but we're not. We're being honest. Mm-hmm. I just don't want people to know that it's me who's saying it, because I don't want any problems. Like, I don't need that in my life. I got a life. I got a family.
Yeah.
So, oh God, that's horrible. That's horrible that happened.
All right, so go ahead and finish that story, my man. This is a good one. It gets better.
It gets better.
Worse.
Which part?
Your friend saw the butt of a gun. He saw a gun come around.
My guest saw the gun. First thing he saw come around the gun, was a gun come around the corner, and he had his headphones in his hand. You can watch video on my channel. The whole thing's recorded. And I muted the mics just because I thought it might have been somebody who just saw we were live and wanted to come and give an opinion, and I'm not going to give free airtime to somebody who doesn't respect my show, you know?
Right.
And so I muted the mics, and I was like, I'm not going to let somebody fucking just open the door and just start talking and give their opinion. I'm not going to give you that. So I was like, all right, I wish I would have left the mics unmuted, though, so that people could actually hear what the cops fucking said. But yeah, he sees a gun come around the corner. You can see him say, don't shoot me. You can see him just say, don't shoot me, in the video. You can read his lips to say that. And like, he was scared shitless. And they came. They walked in. I asked him to come outside, and he walked outside, and they explained to him the same thing that was going on. And he was like, nah, man, we just sitting here talking about March Madness. And it was a sports podcast we were doing. And they walked through the house, and they like fucking all through the whole shit, and came back out and told me that, yeah, so apparently somebody called and with your name and your address saying that they had shot their wife in the face, and what that
fuck?
They had shot their wife in the face, and that they were going to shoot somebody else if they, they were going to shoot somebody else, period. And they were actually they were trying to go inside my neighbor's house and set up camp. Like, and maybe potentially come through the fucking wall. Like, that was, they were talking about doing shit like that. Like, that's what you do in situations like that normally. But it was fucking terrifying. And my buddy Jason, who was on that episode with me, thought that, and he's got kids and shit, you know, as soon as you see a gun come around the corner, but dude, that's fucking, that ain't good,
yeah,
you know?
That's it. Yeah, that's it, man. Like, you think you're going to fucking die.
See, no, he's bringing up this, and then I'm not trying to bring them up, but the podcast that we're sponsoring right now,
yeah,
one of the dudes got in trouble, right? Yeah. His real name was out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got fired or something.
Yeah.
Something happened, and he got in trouble with his real life.
He'll be on the show Friday.
Right. And I'm just like,
yeah.
I absolutely not. Like, this is just like, tell me right now, never ever put my name out there. I can't. I cannot.
Like I told Kelsey, I was, if we ever got to a point where we can self-sustain off of the podcast, then maybe I would do a video one.
Yeah.
Patreons, but as of right now, there's too much to lose, and people are so fucked up out there. What drives someone to dox someone?
You freaked me out with the deep fakes. I don't need my face on there now.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Oh, man.
Where?
Those things are fucking terrifying. And I've mentioned Rogan, and it's probably not a secret that I'm a pretty big Rogan fan. People say that he's a meathead, but I don't care. That's probably just people who don't watch him and don't understand that he's actually a pretty intelligent guy, I think.
I think so, too.
But I watched a lot of his episode, and he has got so much video of himself through the Joe Rogan podcast that they can program him to say whatever the fuck they want.
Oh, like monkeys playing hockey and shit.
Yeah. Do you see that video where they did this thing where he was telling like monkeys, a hockey team of all chimpanzees, like all chimps.
Hey, Joe Rogan. This is Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Dude, they can program any, they can splice together you saying anything that they want to now.
Oh, yeah. Now, my wife stepped out to smoke a cigarette for a minute, so I wanted to bring this deep fake up to you while she's gone.
Okay.
You know the actress Christina Hendricks, right?
I do not.
Well, she is a huge tittied woman. She was in Mad Men and all, in a show called Good Girls right now.
Okay.
Her name is Christina Hendricks, and she has these fantastic jugs, right? And yes. There's a deep fake, and there's a website called Celeb Jihad, J-I-H-A-D,
yeah,
where they have, like, celebrity nudes. And they have a fake one of her with some pornographic actress showing her gigantic jugglers. I call them jumbo jigglers. And they put Christina Hendricks' head on this chick's body, and it looks so real. And underneath in the comments section, because everything has a comment section, it says, this is a deep fake. And I looked at the original video because someone posted it. Wow, how the fuck did you do that? Do you see the world going to a place where you can't trust anything? Because let's say hypothetically I was an expert at, and I'm like, you know what, this Kelsey guy's a jerk, I'm gonna deep fake his head on someone's body that robbed the bank just to get him in trouble. Do you think we're gonna get to that point?
Absolutely. If it is out there, people are going to use it both for good and bad.
Sure.
And that is anything. Just the option that people now can just, if you piss somebody off enough, you can ruin their lives with this. If you're good enough at doing the deepfake thing. And even I've heard countless podcasters talk about this, about like, just how crazy accurate some of these things just on Snapchat are. Like just the Snapchat filters. Just Snapchat filters. Like are you familiar with Kyle Dunnigan, the guy that does all the
God, his Bill Maher is phenomenal. Dude,
his Instagram channel is the shit.
I love it. So funny.
But dude, they're so fucking good. And he's just using like simple filters to do stuff. And they look pretty fucking good. Just if there were anybody who were more than just an Instagram comedian, there's no limit to how good they can make a fake look.
Now, do you think we're going to get to a point where like we give everyone out could be a deep fake, or are people just going to be guilty until proven innocent?
I think the guilty till proven innocent shit has to stop. But I think that that's probably a foolish thought on my behalf, because it just seems like things are just going further and further in that direction now. But I want to think that we will come to our senses, that maybe a generation of people will say, you know what, maybe they're not telling us the truth. Maybe they're not telling us everything that we need to know. Or as far as like, I feel like that the higher ups will be doing this more often than not for people that they would need to silence for something like say Alex Jones starts saying too much things about people who are close to certain people whose names that come up, and then people start dying, and then that group of people who just maybe, I'm not going to say their names because I enjoy life right now as it is, unless there's a zombie apocalypse, and then in that case I would only need one bullet. But see, you guys laugh too. I fucking tell that joke and nobody fucking laughs because everybody's just fucking terrified now. But still, like I don't want to die, and I'm not going to mention these people's names. But if it gets to the point where they're saying things that is going to incriminate people who do not want to be incriminated, and they want to silence these people forever, then if they could make a deep fake, like you say, of them committing murder or of them robbing a bank, like you say, or saying anything like that. But I think that would be something that powerful people would definitely have the access to. And even, I mean, fuck, anybody could, I guess, if you're good with computers or Photoshop or anything.
I can't have my face out there.
Well, and this is interesting segue. what you just said. You don't want your face out there. But she wants to do something called 23andMe, where you send your DNA to some unidentified location.
Listen, I'm not going
to
argue anymore. I want to know where it came from.
But they're just going to give you the same script they send to everyone else. It's fake shit, but they have your DNA.
What are you talking about? You are retarded.
I think that there's something to that.
Call my freaking fat ass anywhere.
Oh, but I mean, the thing is, it's like you are sending your DNA somewhere randomly to some person who has a bunch of different like little glass things that they put under a microscope.
Listen, I've been told all my life that I'm Irish and English. I would like to know, number one, I would like to know if that's true. Number two, there has been, from my father's side of the family, controversy of whether that's my actual father or not. And that's a whole nother subject my mother never admitted to. I'm just saying, it would be nice for me to do that. And I think it would be interesting to be like, where do the kids come from? What nationality are we? Because I'm a mutt. I know I'm a smorgasbord of crap.
I think we all are.
I'd like to know what I am.
We all are. Yeah, he's right.
I will say this. I would like to know those things as well. But is there a possibility that I'm just giving my DNA to somebody who could make my DNA show up somewhere else?
That's what I'm thinking.
Feeding into his stuff.
I would be lying if I didn't say that thought didn't exist.
That does not know.
But I do want to know. Not. I do want to know where I come from. I do want to know that. I wouldn't mind.
You know what?
Do you think you're going to find those answers?
Then I have emails and paperwork saying, you know what? I did this 23andMe shit.
You want to know something weird?
What?
My dad, years ago, rest in peace, Dad. He died in 2007.
He
sent away to some company who said that we're gonna name a star after your son, and he spent like $500 to get a picture of a star with my name on it. Do you think anyone gives a fuck anymore? Does that star belong to me?
How many times have they sold that one?
Exactly, that same star. It's the same picture with someone else's, some other kid's
star.
Same shit with 23andMe. I guarantee you. Oh, you're one third African. You're one third Native American. You're 1/25th Irish. You're this and
I better be more than 1/25th.
Everyone's got the same fucking
story. You're 1/426th Native American.
Exactly. Like, just take 100 fortune cookies and break them open. You're gonna have 50 of the same goddamn thing. They're not all unique.
Did you read the story on Reddit about the family of a family where bought all the kids 23andMe, bought the entire family 23andMe things for Christmas, and the mom was like very, very nervous about the whole situation, and they found out that one of their sisters was not actually their dad's. See? Like they found out shit like that, and I don't know, but that could have been the story that started the whole, well, maybe these things are fake. Maybe because this is obviously these guys, you know, these are obviously all biological sisters. And obviously, I don't know if they had blood work done to test if the dad was really the dad or not. But this stream was on Reddit. It's been a few months ago, and it was a pretty popular story.
There's one man who can answer all these questions. There's one man that we need in our lives. And I mean, he has one name, Maury Povich. We need him involved in all these storylines.
You are not the father.
And boom, there you go. Drop the mic, walk off the set. And Maury Povich can solve all this shit. In 1 hour, he can solve multiple cases.
How much money is he worth?
Oh, man, so much more than you would expect, probably.
Because right? Even though
tens of millions.
Even though he's on, like, CW, whatever, the WB, whatever the hell, he's got to be worth something because he's still on with new episodes. This dude is, like, 80 years old and still doing paternity tests.
Well, we were almost on that show.
Were you really?
Yes, we were.
We told this story before, but we'll tell it again. For you, my friend, we'll tell you this.
$45 million.
We were almost on this show, and they were harassing us to come on the show because I'm a very good actor on the side. Okay.
Like I said, when he's outside the house, he's a different person.
Oh, hey, Abby, I see you there.
So what happened was we were brand new together. We were, what, like 1 year together?
If that, yeah.
Yeah, and we were watching the show, and I'm like, you know what? Is this shit for real or not, you know? Mm-hmm. And what happened was they had a number that would come on, like, if you have this or that, the other thing, and one day it'll, like, oh, like, call this number, and we'll get back to you and come on the show. And one day, like, a storyline came up, like, what if you're cheating on your spouse with a friend or some shit? Mm-hmm. And she had a really good friend at the time who was really cool. And I'm like, hey, let's call the show and say I'm fucking her. Mm-hmm. And then we called the show, and I broke down in fake tears. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to tell my girlfriend that I'm fucking her friend. And I got her pregnant, and oh, my God. And I'm crying on, you know, the call. And I left this voicemail, and we were drinking at the time, and we had a good time. And the next day, I got, like, three calls from this producer from the Maury Show, like, please come on the show. And then I got in touch with her, and we actually talked on the phone, and I'm like, well, shit, she called her bluff. She wants us to come on. And I'm like, well, I have to work. And she's like, we'll pay you each $150 if you got, and we'll pay for your train fare. And they were, like, negotiating us to come down there. We were living in New York at the time.
Wait a second. Like, they're only handing out $150 to be on the Maury Show?
Yes.
This was a long ass time ago. They were barely given anything. They were going to pay for hotel, food, taxis, and all, and train fare, and all this other shit to get us down there.
$150 to miss your work day.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That was the thing. And I wasn't allowed to know.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I'm sitting next to him, but he's not allowed to tell me what's happening. And it involves me and my best friend and her fiance at the time. Yeah. And but they, I think Maury at that time wasn't in New York anymore. He was in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So the train ride was longer.
You're right, yeah.
So it was like a whole thing.
They were bending over backwards to get us on the show because I gave such a convincing performance on that voicemail where I was like fake crying. I'm like, oh, I got to talk to you later.
And my friend, back. My friend was all for it.
She was down.
I was all for it. And then it was like, it got to the nitty gritty. Like, they wanted us that week. And then I started freaking out. I'm like,
you're like, what if my parents see this?
God.
They won't get the joke.
I know people. Like, if people watch Maury. Like, what if watch Maury? And I'm on there, and I look like a freaking idiot because you're supposedly sleeping with my best friend. Like, no, we can't do that.
Our kids will grow up and see this shit in the future. Yeah. So we stopped it.
Yeah, so we didn't do it. But, like, oh, yeah, we definitely called, and, like, they were on our ass trying to get us there. That man.
Whoever that woman was wanted us on this show bad because, like I said, dude, I was a pathetic bitch on the phone. I was, like, crying and shit. I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. She was falling hook, line, and sinker, man. So
just because I think we were trying to figure out if things were real or if they were fake.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things.
Some of them must be real.
A lot of things you kind of feel like things might be forced or, like, scripted a little bit. And the nerd just happened to call with, like, a storyline that they wanted. Mm-hmm. And they would not leave us alone. They just kept calling nonstop. And it was ridiculous. So
we had to put them on block, if I remember correctly, because they kept calling so much.
So anyone out there that wants to get on the Maury, just make up a story. They'll grab you.
I will call for you.
Dude, there you go. That should be your side hustle. Be like, hey, I'll get you on the Maury Show, guaranteed.
Just come up with a good storyline, man. They'll grab you.
So who are some of your musical influences, man? Because, like, you guys, you know, you guys are like a rock and roll band, but who are some of your influences?
Ooh. I like the Beatles a lot.
So does she.
Oh, she loves
the Beatles.
Did you? Okay, hold that.
Get into it because there you go.
We interviewed someone a while back, Billy Ray Valentine.
Conspiracy expert.
Okay.
And he came on, and it was a really good interview. And then he happened to drop a bomb on me that Paul McCartney was dead and someone replaced him. Did you hear that?
Of course I have. Have you never watched that documentary, Paul McCartney Really Is Dead?
No.
Please go find that. Yes, it is supposed. The story goes that Paul McCartney died in a car crash in 1965 or 6 or somewhere around there. And that he was replaced with a guy named William Chapman, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah,
and he was, a Paul McCartney lookalike that had to have certain surgeries or whatever to look more like Paul McCartney, learned how to play the instrument, learned how to do everything, and apparently just replaced Paul. And that was most of the reason why they made this believable was that they'd stopped touring immediately. Like, they stopped touring mm-hmm. at that time, and they weren't playing. I don't think they played another live show until the Rooftop concert. I think everything that they did after that were all just albums.
So, it's just like, I heard it, but I never like read up on it or got into detail until this, till this interview, and he mentioned that, and I'm like, no.
He was sending links.
Absolutely not. And then we get off the interview, and then I find myself Googling shit. And I'm like, oh, man. This dude was taller. Many different
pictures of them side by side.
I don't like it.
There is. I have the poster hanging on the wall of my room right now of the insert from the White album. Which, if I had it closer, I'd grab it and show it to you. But there's a picture of the guy who won the lookalike contest, William Chapman, Billy Chapman. There's a picture of him on the insert of the White album, the fold out poster, and it just looks like Paul McCartney with a mustache.
So weird, man.
Yep.
Oh God!
But like, why would they fake his death? That's my question. Like,
because
why can't you just say
the story was that there were so many Beatles fans at that time that it would have called a mass suicide if they would have been told that Paul McCartney was dead, because Paul was all of the girls' favorite Beatle.
Hell yeah, he was.
Was he really?
Yep.
He was.
Yep.
I don't see it.
He was the baby.
Eyes. All you gotta do, he's got the baby face and the eyes. Really? That's it.
And he smoked a cigarette. He was the bad guy. He was the one with the cigarette in his hand and early on. I've got a Beatles tapestry from 1964 hanging on my wall right now. This original where Paul McCartney has the cigarette in his hand. It's black and white, like a litho image almost.
Yeah.
And Paul McCartney's got the cigarette in his hand, and they, in later printings, removed the cigarette from his hand.
Damn.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
So that's like a Mandela effect almost.
Yep. So what? Don't get into all this crazy.
Oh, I'm deep diving it.
Oh, you mean them Bernstein Bears? You mean that Fruit of the Loom symbol that doesn't have a cornucopia?
Yeah.
The most impressive thing, and like he's talking about these pictures and things he's got, but the most impressive thing that I saw, and I didn't see these, or I don't recollect.
I know what you're about to say.
The Nintendo. I froze, and I'm like staring at a fucking old school Nintendo with the original gun with the orange tip.
Yep.
He has
thought it was red.
Fucking no, that's a Mandela effect. It was orange. He has a fucking Nintendo system right there.
Ooh. It's sitting on top of my record player.
Oh, I thought it was red.
No, it was orange. The original control, the gun. Dude, I sat there, and I'm like, dude, is this what I fucking think it is? Oh. He's like, yes, it's a Nintendo, and look at those games.
You playing Duck Hunt over there?
Dude, I will.
Playing a little Duck Hunt, play a little Super Mario 3, a little Excitebike, you know?
Excitebike, oh my God, make... All right, so let me ask you this honest question.
Okay? He's all geeking out over here.
Because I'm a fucking nerd. My name is The Nerd, because I geek out on dumb shit. When you play Duck Hunt...
Yeah.
Do you play the game the way it's supposed to be, or do you walk up to the screen?
No, you play it the way it's supposed to be.
On
it,
yeah.
With the controller on the touching the TV screen.
No, not touching the screen. You got to be back. Yeah, because, I mean, otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah, seriously. I play back. You go up to the screen?
I used to, yeah.
Oh,
I
was
eater. Because that dog was an ass. It's a laugh at me.
Yep. When I was a kid... You could aim at the light fixture because it had like if me and my brother would play this, and we lived in this like single wide trailer. I don't know if you ever done these, like seen these little itty bitty trailer houses that have the little like gold the faux gold drape thing in the middle of the fan.
Or yeah, whatever. It's like a candelabra almost.
Yeah, right, right, that thing. So you could aim at that, and it would hit every time because it would aim the signal. It would multiply the signal by however many reflections off of that, and it would just shoot at the entire screen. You could just aim at the light.
Oh, my God, that's you guys are cheaters,
that's
man.
Way too scientific. Like, I would just
get the hell out of here.
Just point dude, blank.
I wasn't cheating. I was just saying that that was an option.
Oh, my God.
We were never that rich. We couldn't afford that kind of shit. Like the candelabras and things like that. It was just kind of like, all right, I just had to get point blank. Like, I'm going to go for the kill shot, yeah. This motherfucker. Oh, my God.
I went a tiny inch, like, 7-inch screen. Oh, I had some tiny-ass TV.
The good thing about Nintendo back in the day was you would always have a big-ass TV that would serve as the TV stand for a smaller TV that yes. actually worked.
Yep. The big TV, because the big TV was the table. It had a drawer in the bottom of it and everything, man.
Oh, my God, yes.
It had, like, the two dials
on it. Yeah. And oh, my
you
God.
Hit, you hit the button, and it would go, boom. And then slowly fade out, and the picture would come up. It would be gray at first.
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's fucking incredible.
Every now and again, you'd have to hit the shit, and you'd have to fucking just donkey punch that motherfucker to get it to work right.
Listen, kids nowadays have no idea the hell we went through with rabbit ears and stupid big-ass TVs. God. And
imagine if your future self can go back in time and hand yourself a working iPad.
Oh, man.
I'd be like, holy shit.
See, I love that, though, because when I was a kid, I had the idea that I told my Aunt Marie, rest in peace, Aunt Marie. I told my Aunt Marie, I was like, I wish that I had a TV that had all the movies that were ever made in it. I love movies when I was a kid. Like, when I was little, I said, I wish I had a TV that had every single movie that was ever made in it. And I could just go through, like, those computers at the library when I'm looking for a book. Cause that was when the computers had first come out of the library when I was still, like, the only place you could find one was at a library. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I was like, this, okay, so I see this can't be far away from being able to put all the movies into this thing.
Right.
So I was gifted that in my lifetime. And I feel like I made a wish upon a fucking star. Mickey Mouse said, all right, here you go. Gifted me the internet. And life has never been the same.
It's like you could pay like $400 for an iPad and everything you could ever want is in that one box. You know, right. It's like you got your movies, your TV, your internet, your Facebook, all your social media. Everything you could ever want is on this one thing. And it's a real blessing to be alive in the times that we are now, because like everything you could possibly want is in one little device. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like you
could be, is it?
Yeah.
Is it a blessing?
Yeah. Why not?
It is if you use it the right way, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there are people out there that are no. I don't go on there much. I try to stay off of there.
Well, we are a generation of people who learned how to obtain information by way of the Dewey Decimal System and were gifted the internet. So we have an advantage on the generation after us.
True. Very, very true.
So yeah. We can use it as a tool. Like I could be accused of living out of the internet, but I still do go out into the world a few times a week and interact with people per my job. So, I don't think I actually live out of the internet or out of my phone, but if I wanted to, it's fucking possible. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
And it's also part of like your quote unquote business too. I mean, like right. You have to promote. You have to promote your podcast. You got to promote your music. And the same thing with us too. Like I really don't have much interaction on Twitter anymore because I just don't feel like I should have to, you know, do that. That's why our Twitter, you know, is pretty dead half the time because we really don't promote it, and we just kind of live off of word of mouth, you know.
That's the way to go, I think. You're going to get your most valuable listener base by that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you get your most loyal people, too.
Right,
like,
right.
Word of mouth lately.
And that's where I'm at. I've been putting all of my attention into my YouTube channel for a long time. Like the audio, honestly, the audio and all those downloads that I were getting from other countries kind of snuck up on me because I wasn't paying attention. I was just releasing content and doing my my editing my audio podcasts. Like it was on autopilot basically because I editing this stuff is nothing. So I would just edit the podcast down in a nice little bow and send it out into the world and not even check up on it. But I was putting all my energy into my YouTube channel, trying to get to, you know, my subscriber count to 1,000 on YouTube. So totally was neglecting everything else. And once I realized, oh shit, I'm actually, there's people listening to this thing as well. You know, I thought that most of my traction was coming from YouTube, but I've got almost more downloads than I do YouTube views per episode just about now. So I think I was focusing on the wrong part of that. So yeah, I've been neglecting a lot of my other social media things because just I have more people on my personal site and I just tweet out with my personal shit because it's got more followers.
Sure. How many followers do you have on YouTube? Because, and I'm asking because we just started this podcast, like I think we said earlier, January.
Yeah.
And randomly, I think we check once in a while. I didn't even know we had a YouTube channel, right? And I think the nerd looked it up and it's like, oh, we have 300 views or whatever. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Why are they looking on YouTube? Like, I didn't even know we had a link out there. How many viewers do you have on YouTube?
I've got about 350 subscribers on YouTube. That's
amazing.
And I'll get probably between some videos I release, I'll get 20 to 30 views and like five or six thumbs up. But most of the time, if I have like a guest on, just because that anytime you have a guest on, you're multiplying your viewership by as many people as they share it with as well. So those views will go anywhere from, you know, 50 to 100 views on YouTube. And then with the downloads, I'll get somewhere around, I don't know. It's really hard for me to know per episode because all of my downloads are linked together. So I don't know exactly what episode they downloaded. I just know that they did. And there are ways where I can find out that, but I just never look into it. On the awesome through my Podomatic thing,
it's all about the title name too.
We learned okay. So iTunes, we learned the title.
Oh and yeah,
we learned if it was some messed up title, it got more views. I think we have a jerk off instructions. And to this day,
it's the highest listened episode.
Yeah. Like, amazingly high.
It was a solo episode, about 27 minutes long.
And it was just, it was...
Was it about your favorite porn category?
No, it was basically me making fun of a woman who I found through a mutual friend who does these videos. And she's like a wrestling valet. And what she does is she sells, like, nude videos and she gives jerk off instructions, and I'm like, wait a second, I've been jerking off since I was 12 years old. Why do I need instructions on how to do this right? Why do I need a dick to show me how to jerk off? So I watched like a 5-second clip because she gives previews because you have to pay for the full thing to learn how to jerk off correctly. You know, just put your hand on it, spit, and, you know, rub up and down.
Oh my God.
But this bitch gives jerk off instructions, and it's like, why do I need a woman? So should I just start releasing videos like fingering instructions with me just fingering myself? Because, like,
so weird.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, what is it?
But that's what I'm saying. The title is Jerk Off Instructions. Yeah. And even though it's not instructions, it's just you talking about this other woman talking crap.
And how stupid it is.
But, well, that is a pretty popular porn category.
Why, though?
It draws a lot of attention. People, and that's old. That's an old episode. So people have to scroll all the way the hell down to find it, and they still find it. And then we have, I think Ted Bundy is probably our second.
Yeah.
Our second highest.
They love it.
And we have three different episodes on Ted Bundy. And they are by far one of the highest rated that we have. But it's just like, it really comes down to the title. If the title catches someone's eye, they immediately go to that. So you... We kind of learned that in the beginning, and then we tapered off and said, fuck it, we'll just put any title up there.
I'll do that. It depends on how creative I feel, I think, when I'm making the title. As what it is. Yeah. Because I don't know why I started doing it, but whatever it is the something something talk. It's the something talk. I do the and talk in every single title, and I don't know why I do that, but I've done that every single time. But I'll do that every now and again, just depending on how frisky I feel. If I get like, I don't know, stoned or whatever, and I'm trying to edit, I'll just go to a certain point into the podcast and listen to a clip from it and be like, okay, so I'm going to just name it that.
Yeah.
Just throw it out there and not care. But
we've done that. And then the nerd here, like you said, we have one that's called The Nerd Strikes Back, and he likes to, well, at least for a short amount of time, he'd like to name them after previous movies that were out there.
Yeah.
And just randomly.
The Empire Strikes Back.
That's actually pretty good.
Oh my God. But that was helping for a while too. And then we kind of stopped that too. So, like, I don't know. I guess
Silence of the Nerds.
Oh, I fucking love it, man.
That's my favorite movie of all time.
So we have to have you on our podcast, The Voices of Misery, man. You got to come on.
Absolutely, and I'd love to do that. I know you guys said that you have work in the morning, so I don't want to keep you much longer than you want. So I know that it's getting to be that 11 o'clock hour. So,
well, that's what sucks, man, about having a freaking mark job. You know, like, you have to wake up and do the bullshit retail smile thing in the morning. Listen, I hate it.
He needs to be able to pay for my alcohol and my smokes.
Well,
so,
at least she's being honest for once.
And listen, and his gummies or whatever the hell he's doing. Mm. So
you got to find a way to pay for. You got to find a way to pay for the vices. That's all it is. It's just you just live your life and you do things for just enough money to pay for the things that's going to make your brain convinced that this life thing is actually worth continuing.
It's not. It's not worth continuing, but we do it anyway.
We just keep on sledging on,
my friend. Until the zombie apocalypse, I think I'll carry on.
Oh my God! As long as just we need Negan, and then
Negan,
I'm good.
No, Negan's not a good fighter in the zombie apocalypse. We need Daryl.
Okay, I'll take Daryl too.
I got this funny Walking Dead joke about
he's the most useful person.
I got this funny Walking Dead joke about these hippies that start watching The Walking Dead, but they're stoner hippies, and like, they're two seasons in before they realize this isn't about the Grateful Dead.
Oh my God.
I don't think this is about Jerry or those guys anymore. I'm working on it though, so it's not polished yet, but. But anyway, guys,
I love the fact that people that are listening to this podcast are starting at point A, they go to like point X, the B, the C, and they're all over the place because that's what we do, man. That's what people does do.
That's how the brain works, man. I mean, anybody, you show me anybody who has thoughts in complete streams, like, I'll be like, yeah, that is a fucking alien because that does not exist in humans. I'm sorry. I find it hard to believe that people actually have thoughts in perfectly little organized lines of thought. I don't think that's how it works. Maybe I'm just a fucking psychopath. I don't know. Probably both.
I think we all are.
Yeah,
I
think we all are too.
In some way.
But, exactly. I really think so.
But guys, I really appreciate you guys coming on with me and hanging out. The Voices of Misery, Nerd and Nerdette, ladies and gentlemen, you can find them all over the internet. I imagine if you go to Google and type in Voices of Misery and just start clicking shit like a fucking madman, you'll probably do some good work.
Probably see a picture of my dick.
Oh my That's God. Right. You will not.
Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready.
Oh God.
But hey, man, we really want to just say thank you for having us on the show. It's been a hell of a conversation. We've gone about 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah, we have. Good. Even on audio, we're over 2 hours on audio too. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we can't wait to have you on our show.
Absolutely. Probably
like a week or two, you know, like just to give this one some time to marinate, like a good steak, you know, just let it marinate for a little bit, and we're gonna do it. It'll be freaking awesome, man. You know, like, I had a really good time with you, man. I think you're a good dude, great show, and we appreciate everything you know, that you put out there, because like you really have your own flavor and you just do your own thing, man. And it's a really good show to listen to. So we appreciate it. And it gives me a good time to drive to work and have something awesome to listen to. So I appreciate you, man.
Well, thank you so much. And likewise, I really enjoy you guys' content, and your back and forth is phenomenal. I was going to say fucking phenomenal, but I didn't want to go too phonetic with that vernacular. But anyway, I'm going to do an outro and an intro, but I know you guys have sleep to get to, so I'll let you get to it. We'll be plugging all kinds of shit for you, so anything that you want people to follow, by all means.
This is my big moment. Hold on. Let me take a deep breath here. All right, so you can find us on Twitter at voicesmisery.podbean.com is our main website, and voicesmiserypodcast@gmail.com. That's it.
voicesofmisery@gmail.com, @voicesofmisery on Twitter, and voicesofmisery.podbean.com, correct?
Hell yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, all right, guys. Well, I tell you what, I will be in contact with you about the episodes coming up, but I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go so I don't keep you any longer than necessary.
For sure, man. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, man.
Thank you guys so much, and very good to meet you, Nerdette.
Bill, you too.
See you next time, guys.
Hey, brother.
All right, guys. So, yes, please go check those guys out, the Voices of Misery podcast. Absolutely fantastic people, and I had a good time talking with them. And I hope you guys had a good time listening to us talk. So, yeah, go to mistuffpodcast.com. Go to YouTube, Kelsey Hudgens. Subscribe. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Kelsey Hudgens, @YonderWizard. @MIStuffPodcast, all the stuff. Click whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe there. If you have not, please leave reviews. Let me know what you think. And yeah, I think that's all I got. So, yeah. All right, audio folks, enjoy your day. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. It's not that hard. Peace, bitches. Well, wait, there's more. Please visit screwballwhiskey.com. SKREW ballwhiskey.com. Screwball Whiskey. Tomorrow's stories begin right here. Peace, bitches.